afternoon. God.
Oh, my God.
Damn it, Russ. Are you fucking kidding me?
I took it off air.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to We're Gonna Need a Bigger Show, episode 34. Today, smaller show today.
Yes.
But bigger in content.
Yeah.
We are joined, as always, by Cameron.
B. Childs.
And rejoining us from way back in our Consumerism Christmas podcast, we're rejoined by Mr.
Also getting white again.
Yeah.
I know that's right.
Two S's.
That just cut you off?
Two L's. Russell.
Russell, who is representing himself and his musical act.
Endeavors.
Ass.
Bossed.
Bossed.
Did we clip? Good.
Good. Okay, yeah, that was the idea. Clips. We'll talk more about the name later and how it should be pronounced.
Yes, because I fucked up and Russ cut me off at the knees. He let me fucking know immediately that I was wrong.
Oh,
yes.
No, yeah, you do not say it wrong.
Right, I mean, I understand.
Everybody now, gets one, only one.
Well, you didn't even give me that. You were just like, no, fuck you. Does it get worse? Does it get worse?
Yeah.
Like, you start hitting fools?
Yeah.
All right, well, today we're going to talk to Russ a little bit about his project that he's
talked to him
on.
A little bit.
Nice guy. A little bit. But first, Cameron, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah. Good.
Yep. How about you?
I'm fine.
Yep. You just sat through some movies, dude.
I did, and we'll talk more about that as well. But we are currently recording from Venture House.
Yep.
The new recording. Swedish poopy dirk, burk, of the new recording location of Bigger Show.
Go, Team Venture!
No, it's different.
Oh.
Not really. Oh. I mean, that's probably why it's called Venture House.
Okay.
Well, it's the one thing we all settled on.
Okay, gotcha.
I thought it was just short for Adventure, but you, like, subtracted the ad?
No. additional ventures.
Biffed it. So...
That's what adventure stands for, I just realized. Additional ventures.
Here's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
The audience at home is going to hear clips from a bunch of trailers, and then we're going to come back and talk about them. Because there's not a whole lot of movie news this mm-hmm. week that I really care to report on. But there is a lot of trailers that I want us to check out. So, is it
D&D 2?
Yeah.
They're finally coming out with that.
So we will see you momentarily. Goodbye.
Coast Guard, this is Fishing Vessel Harbinger, informing you that we've dredged a piece of wreckage containing human remains.
It's a tardigrade. His body must be riddled with them.
Please don't let it burn me up, please.
What the hell are you doing, Spec?
He's infected.
You don't know that for sure.
He's gone, bro!
How did we end up here, in this dump? You were a movie star, remember?
Decades and he still comes.
How you doing, buddy? Brought you your favorite candies.
Come on, Lloyd, you gotta get over her. Mary Samsonite was just a girl.
That's it, kid. Come on, spit it out.
God, yeah!
Wait a minute. So you mean you have been faking for 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
And it was all for a gag?
Yep.
That's awesome!
Oh. Once you roll me inside, we'll get the nurse to take the catheter out of me.
We don't need nurses for that.
But don't you have to...
Is the
another Saturday night.
Power is a fragile thing.
It's tearing me up how much I love you.
Dwight, is that you?
What I gotta do.
She owns me.
She was an angel.
When she wishes it, we die.
One of these days, she'll pull the trigger. It's a good game.
Woo! And we're back.
Oh, and we're back. That's a bunch of trailers.
Yeah. Was that five?
Yes, five.
Okay, shall we start at the beginning?
Paddington Bear.
Adorable.
When did the spirit of Chris Farley inhabit Paddington Bear, though?
Just knock everything over.
Just so dumb.
Yeah.
I don't remember Paddington Bear being filled with slapstick and stupid gags.
No.
But it doesn't really translate to a movie. I think it's dumb that there... I love Paddington Bear, but I think it's dumb that there's going to be a Paddington Bear movie.
I know almost nothing about Paddington Bear. I had one when I was a kid, but it's not like I ever delved into the mythos.
He wasn't a dumb idiot.
Yeah.
He wasn't an idiot asshole. And now he's an idiot asshole.
With like gross out.
Yeah, gross out. Yeah. I'm going to eat earwax.
Yeah.
Good job.
No, it is hilarious, Mike.
Was it?
We just don't know if it fits the tone of whatever the set tone of Paddington Bear is.
I need you to shut up when you talk about
What is the set tone of Paddington Bear?
You know.
Life lessons?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's explore our sexuality.
Let's explore. let's explore. Maybe I like guys now.
That's what he says.
Right.
I don't remember that. That might have happened.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, Harbinger down.
Harbinger.
You need to shut up. The thing about this movie is that Tom Woodruff and Alec Gillis, who own Amalgamated Designs, who have done some of the best practical effects work in the business ever, they put together a Kickstarter for a practical effects movie in the vein of The Thing, and maybe too close to The Thing.
Yeah.
But
it's like a scary version of Encino Man.
Thawing soon. And this is the outcome of that. I mean, they raised the money, and this is the movie that they shot. And I'm all for practical creature effects.
Mm-hmm.
But this looks like The Thing. Exactly like John Carpenter's The Thing.
That was my first thought, and I was just like, why have it? I mean, it's on a boat, granted, which is a little different. But
it's in the cold, Arctic.
It's in a cold environment. There's ice involved. And it's a tentacled thing that takes over people.
People, so, yeah. Like, wow, I mean, that sounds like the same fucking movie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'll see it because I love practical effects, but you know, why not just put that money into doing a sequel to The Thing that was good?
Yeah.
You know, not this weird shitty prequel, which they actually did the design work for it, but they just covered it in CGI. So. Whatever. I'm not on board with this. I thought I was going to be much more on board than I currently am.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know anything about it, man. I have no clue from that trailer what it's about, except it's a scary Encino Man. There's something in a block of ice. It thaws. It has tentacles. Kind of Cthulhu-ish. It'll get you.
Birdman.
That looks really interesting.
I love this trailer. I love it. I know nothing about the movie except that Michael Keaton was this Batman type character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, perfectly fitting. And that he's trying to relaunch his career.
Birdman.
Like a Broadway actor.
Mm-hmm.
But the trailer is fucking crazy.
It just looks really interesting. I already said that, but
Michael Keaton has never, like, I don't think he ever got a... He got a fair shake in, like, five movies ever.
Mm-hmm.
And then they stopped using him.
He went the way of Kevin Costner.
Yeah, but Kevin Costner's a shitty actor.
There's Prince of Thieves, dude.
Get out of my house.
Waterworld. Have you not seen these?
You have to leave.
But
there's a cup made out of tin. Tin cup.
We've yet to talk about this weird Costner comeback that's happening right now. Like,
but he shouldn't be allowed to come back.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why is he suddenly in like five different movies in the same year after not being in anything since, you know,
Waterworld?
Now,
he does this every few years. Postman. He did like Mr. Brooks and The Postman and The New Daughter and like five different things like 4 years ago or longer, and then all of a sudden he comes back I need to readjust. All of a sudden, he comes back, and now here's Kevin Costner again. Give Michael Keaton another chance. Where's Mickey Rourke? He was around for like 10 movies and then disappeared again.
Yeah.
Kevin Costner needs to stop. He needs to be stopped. And also, Birdman looks great.
Yes.
Dumb and Dumber 2.
I like the title.
Yeah.
The
title's pretty funny. Is that it? Well, I think I'm on the same page with Russ in that I don't like the callbacks. I don't like the idea of catchphrases.
Well, I dislike parts of even Arrested Development when they came out with their newer season because it seemed like they had to rely on like these throwback jokes instead of just making some new. And I know with a series like that, you know, they kind of have things that go for seasons, but it just seemed cheaper.
I think you're both joyless adults.
We are married.
It could be a big and part we of both it. Know our wives wouldn't like this, so we probably shouldn't either, Mike. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Not really. I think there are some genuinely funny bits in there. The stuff with the old woman is funny.
I like that it's... I mean, it's a true Blue Fairly Brothers movie.
Yes.
It's raunchy.
Mm-hmm.
It's over the top.
Maybe I just don't remember the original having that same... It is over the top, but I didn't feel like it was over the top in quite that same way.
You need to go back and watch the original.
Yeah, I know there's a big Dookie scene, but...
Yeah.
I don't remember much aside from that. He lights a fart.
There's a lot of, like, sexual stuff in the first one.
Yeah.
They break a bird's head off and then tape it back on.
Sell it to a blind kid. It's pretty evil.
Billy in 4C. Yeah.
I'm saying, like, the catheter thing. I do believe that's characteristic of the Farrelly brothers, but maybe not.
No, I think it's perfectly characteristic of Dumb and Dumber. God damn it, Cameron. Jesus Christ. Sin City 2!
Ooh! I think we're all pretty much... How do you feel, Russ?
It looks pretty slick. It looks like it's a little bit more stylized the way that it's shot. Yeah. Maybe a little more computer work in there than the first one.
Russ looking down as he says this.
I'm not really sure where it's going. It's got a little Casino Royale, I guess.
Yeah.
A little poker.
Well, here's the thing. Marv died in the first one. But then Nancy's around. And Dwight was Clive Owen in the first one. So I don't know if it's a prequel. But if it's a prequel, then the Nancy Jessica Alba story shouldn't exist. So
yeah.
I don't know what the deal is.
I mean, I haven't read the book, so I can't really...
This is a new story.
Oh. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he wrote this... I'm pretty sure he wrote this specifically as a movie.
Okay.
I think it takes some of the elements from the comics, but... Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is a brand new thing. So maybe they bring Marv back. I don't know. From the dead.
Interesting.
You can't keep him down.
No.
He's the big dude, right?
Yeah. Mickey Rourke. There's Mickey Rourke.
Found him.
I think the returning cast plus and new cast alike just seem to all fit. Like, it all seems to make sense.
Yeah, it felt like more of a... I mean, the first one's very much an ensemble piece, but this one felt like a lot like that. Mm-hmm. And felt like it really clicked and really went together. So I'll be curious to see how that pans out. Other movie stuff, I mean, you kind of brought up something earlier. Del Toro is currently working on Pacific Rim 2. It's not been greenlit.
Yeah,
It's in development, but it's not like a done deal. But he's just fucking going for it, man.
He's got old boy from X-Men writing the script. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He and they're both working on it together.
Yeah.
That's what excites me about it is the fact that they're excited about it. It hasn't been greenlit. I would imagine no one's giving them money to write it, and yet they're doing it anyway.
My dream is that in the third movie, we get a crossover with the new Godzilla.
Yeah.
I want to see Jaeger fight the new Godzilla.
Oh my gosh, yes.
But I guess that Godzilla's a lot bigger. I don't know, that could still happen.
You build a bigger Jaeger.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to need a bigger Jaeger. Woo! Otherwise, there was a ton of video game news this week. It's E3, but we're putting all of that either on our Facebook or our Tumblr page. Our producer Mallory's been working on that. She's posted the top 10 games that she's looking forward to.
She's very much on the up and up when it comes to that kind of
thing. I'm going to be posting some trailers for new games throughout the week, and we'd love to hear from you about that. Also, we did a small contest, at the beginning of the week to kick off our celebration of 30 years of Ghostbusters. And we're giving away a copy of Ghostbusters on Blu-ray and Charles Robert Mott won that. So congratulations, Robert Mott.
Mott's applesauce.
Yeah. Who's a good friend of the show. And
not of you guys.
No, not of us. Just of the show. For that. And I mean, we will have a ton of Ghostbusters content as the year goes on. So, yeah, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back and talk with Bust!
Did it clip?
And Russ! Oh, that clip.
Yes,
that
clip totally did.
Goodbye.
We have heard a bust track there, maybe?
I don't know. Would we?
Yeah. That sounds different now. The can's open.
Yeah, it does. He had a good jam. Timbre. A good jam going a second ago, but it's all ruined now.
Ruined.
So, I don't know. Before this, you may have heard a track from Us Again, White Again.
What is that?
What is that? It was what?
When you said his name.
When I was little, yeah. I used to, instead of saying Russell Glenn White, I always thought my name was Usselgen White Gun.
Why?
He was a little idiot.
I don't know, man. You're little kids.
Little dumb idiot.
It just kind of stuck for a while.
Alright.
Apparently when I was a little kid, I walked around for a while going, my name is Bruce!
Don't bring me down!
Bruce! Yes. Yes.
Bruce!
And they're like, don't bring me down. And I said, Bruce.
Wow. God, I wish that you went by Bruce, truthfully.
Yeah.
I don't know many people that go by their middle name. I know, like, two.
Alex. James Alex.
Dillinger goes by his last name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cheater. He wasn't even in the army. I'm pretty sure you have to serve before you can go by your last name.
Do you?
I think.
People.
Or be on a sports team, maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Derailed that conversation.
Yep. Those are the best conversations, though, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk more about Kevin Costner, though.
I want to talk more about you. You, Bost. All right, let's get this out of the way. Where does the name come from?
I love cats, and Bost is the Egyptian cat goddess of the sun.
Can you leave?
Spelled the same way, B-A-A-S-T or whatever?
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, there's other variations. I went for Bost, though.
Right on. But we're wearing a cat t-shirt right now.
No, I got in the character. Meow.
is Bost a persona? Is it a character?
I'm not exactly sure yet. Okay. It kind of started off where I was going to let it kind of be a new, Fort Mo Money or a Peter Poltergeist. But I don't know. I've started jamming with some other people. And I think I may just let it be a band name instead of an entity.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
don't forget Theopolis Pancake. I mean, we really.
It's true. And Theopolis Pancake. Yeah, There's so many, they can't keep up with each
right,
other.
Right, right.
Where does it. I mean, so you were in Crayons and Antidotes. And still are, I mean, currently, for the next
week. For, like,
week.
3 more days? Yeah.
So what, I mean, was Bost the next logical step for you? I mean, was it something to keep your creativity going, knowing that was going to end, or how did that work?
Well, I've been toying around with the idea of doing some solo work anyways, and I guess with the splitting up of Crayons and Antidotes, I was able to kind of push me more in that direction to, well... here you go, start doing it. I don't know, it's just easier to do solo stuff and kind of do it at my own leisure as far as learning songs. I hate practicing, And with a band, you gotta kind of, you know,
right,
practice. But if I do it by myself, I don't have to as much. Or can just record and not really have to worry about doing as many shows or anything. So, I don't know.
What, I mean, it's a different type of music than Crayons, I mean, for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, what drew you to this style over doing something, you know, similar to Crayons?
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, Cam and I were in a band when we were kids, and it was, you know, really not like metal aggressive, but it was like more rock aggressive and guitar. I've kind of gone and playing music, I've just chilled out more and more.
Was like the Funky Joe band?
Yes, yeah. Although yeah, it was the same band, but Russ was playing guitar and singing and I was playing drums.
Okay. Yeah, 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 we did a
that was switcheroo, like our one-off switcheroo for that, okay, song. Yes,
but yeah, so with Boss or Crayons, I guess it was a bit more, a little chill. I kind of started it as a solo project, and everything was almost kind of like a psychedelic art folk band or project.
It reminded me of a lot of Beck's first album.
Yeah.
Like, not the way it sounded, but just like the spirit of,
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Because we should back up and say that I played drums in Crayons for a few years. I guess maybe like 2 or 3 years or something.
Yeah.
And it was just you and I playing. But before that even, you were just doing stuff. Like just
kind of at home producing.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of what it started off as, was more of like a sketchbook. Just, I don't know, kind of like Boss. It was something just to keep the creativity flowing. And I mainly just recorded. I didn't really play any shows. And it was, you know, lots of guitar, lots of reverb on everything, lots of delay on everything. It was really, I don't know, just semi-experimental art folk. I don't know, I started getting a little bit more into stuff, and then I got this little cartridge for a Nintendo DS, and it was my first synthesizer. It was put out by Korg. It was a Korg DS-10. Cartridge. So I started writing some patterns and loops on it, and was like, man, I really want to start doing this. And I think Cam and I started jamming shortly thereafter, and kind of started doing that. So Crayons went from, you know, being this a little bit more artsy, kind of acoustic driven, to purely electronic with you know, an analog drummer, a real drummer. So it was kind of like a cool juxtaposition of these two worlds, where you have you know, this kind of dancier stuff, but then you have Cam, who's more like, I don't know, I feel like jazz oriented than just a straight up rock drummer. So you have this like nice jazz beat going, mm-hmm, with more electronic kind of stuff.
And it was super hard. Like, yeah, it was one of those things you're like, okay, well, it's electronic, it's never going to change tempo.
Right.
I'll be fine. And that was, nothing could have been further from the truth. It was so much harder playing to a, like, you know, something that was immovable.
Right.
Because if you started to screw up, it's not going to say, oh, I'll shift to you, like, sure,
like a band would do,
like, right,
a guitarist or a bassist.
Yeah, so it was years into playing with Russ doing that I was like, oh, I have to use a metronome and I have to use headphones and actually try really hard.
Right.
So it was an interesting thing, because like he said, before that, we just, for 10 years prior to that, we'd been playing in rock bands.
Right.
It's, yeah,
a totally different deal.
To kind of talk about Crayons still for a second, I mean, you guys have not only collaborated musically, I mean, but also videos for the band. No. Oh, yeah. Most recently, Cam directed a video.
Yeah, Cam's helped out with most every video that we've done. I guess in the early stages of Crayons, I you know, would make some like stock footage, fun, trippy shit on my phone, but a lot of the videos Cam's helped out with and has been gracious enough to donate his time with that. Most recently, Shooting Stars.
Shooting Stars is a hell of a video.
Super good.
Yeah.
Well, I have, I don't know, a guilty pleasure for action films, just sure. Mindless. Who gives a shit about the story? I want to see guns just popping, just pop, 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 Rambo mm-hmm. style. And I think Cam's always like, you know, some kung fu stuff and might like action films the way I do as well. Certainly. So
kung fu face.
Yeah, even for Pie Skulls, we did a skit where we would choreograph fight scenes and stuff. So this was kind of you know what I'm saying? So this was kind of a throwback to some of that stuff. Right. So as soon as he mentioned the idea to me, I was just like, okay.
So you had the idea.
It was a little bit of both. I just remember Russ saying, hey, we should go to City Cafe and get some lunch and talk about it.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like, here's what I'm thinking. Just by the song, I think we had both mentioned, like, a year before you even sat down to talk about the video, oh, it sounds like a chase.
Yeah.
It sounds okay. like... Yeah, it sounds like that, that it opening. Sounds like running and... Yeah. And, or,
it's very frenetic pace, mm-hmm. yeah.
So, yeah, it was... And then it was a couple of months after that that we actually started shooting, and then, like, 6 months after that...
Yeah, talk a little bit about that. I mean, it... Like a lot of the stuff that we get involved with, I mean, it seemed like it took quite a while. I mean, mm-hmm. what were the reasonings behind that? Oh, Russ is raising his hand.
If anyone that's ever been involved with me in a project, I think, kind of knows it's going to take a little longer than it should.
How many times were we supposed to have you on the podcast before today?
I don't remember.
I mean, the mind of an artist, though, you know, it's hard to focus on any one thing. Is that part of it? I mean,
well, I don't like necessarily cop outs like that. Unfortunately, it's sort of the truth. I have a bad habit of saying yes to everything without sure. thinking. Like, I don't know, I get caught up in something. So if Cam's like, hey, you want to do this? I'm just like, yeah. And I've probably already told 3 other people that I was going to do something that exact same day too.
Right.
That'll bite you in the ass.
Oh,
a
yeah,
lot.
Every time. Mm-hmm.
Cam's friends enough with me, he hasn't shut me down.
Right.
I think he kind of knows, well, this might happen, it might not.
Oh, here's an interesting question. Has anybody done that to you?
Just like, all right, we're done with you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, I guess going through the years, there's people I don't hang out with as much anymore.
You never called them and been like, why don't we hang out anymore?
Well, you never hung out, man.
That's funny. But what was so great and opportune about making it was that Russ kind of had free reign over the Todd building on MTSU's campus.
Sure, yeah. And that's a great location.
Oh, it's super good.
It ended up looking like $1 million. Mm-hmm. I mean, the video just looks, it just drips with, you know, money, and there wasn't any.
No.
No.
I mean, just from the slow motion style you developed, which was really cool. And then, you know, just the masks and, you know, the motion chase at the end. I mean, all of that just looked like $1 million.
I like how fast he made my scooter look like it was going. Yeah, even though we were literally driving like maybe 10 miles an hour.
Oh, it looks like you're going like 50.
It seemed pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's
that purple light on the bottom. Dude.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what makes it so cool.
I was very excited about that. The mask, Uncanny Valley.
Our friends, James... Mangrum and Scott Sulfridge, who have been on the show before, they provided the masks.
Yeah, and those, I mean, that makes it, like, it's just
those masks are incredible.
They're super good.
If it had just been dudes, like, it wouldn't have worked.
Because it's little stuff like that that takes it from being, along with the song, that takes it from being, like, a mundane action chase to something special.
A bit more tasteful, almost artsy in a sense,
it's an art house chase film. I mean, that's exactly what the music video is, which was what I was drawn to. It's one of those, I don't do this very often, but it was one of those things Cameron had asked me to help out, and I had a lot going on at the time, but then I saw the stuff that he was doing, and I was immediately like, I really wish I had gotten down on this.
Yeah.
Because it was just a really cool video.
Oh, I'm super happy he hit me up about it. I mean, I'm not going to lie, at first there were parts of me that were like, well, this might look a little cheesy, but whatever, I trust Cam, and sure enough, the dude makes it look awesome, dude.
Yeah, every time. That's the Cameron Childs stamp of approval.
Yeah.
The guarantee right there. So moving forward, I mean, is Bossed a full-time thing? Is it a time filler? I mean, what is it for you?
I'm not really sure. I mean, I'm at this point in my life between school and all of that. I don't know. I've got a lot of choices to make as far as, like, you know, do I try and start a band? Do I get really involved with it? Or, right. You know, put a lot of stock into it, knowing that I'll probably have to move within the next year. I think Bossed is that transition from Murfreesboro to wherever I go, but it's at least something that I can be invested in with myself and not have to, like, cut ties necessarily.
Where will you go?
I don't know. I'm looking for either West Coast schools,
okay,
or possibly Northeast. So there's Seattle. I'm kind of toying with that, or Santa Cruz. Those are my big two.
Right.
So we'll see. If not, I've been thinking about getting involved with this full immersion language education.
Okay.
And then seeing about going to either Asia or Europe to just teach full immersion English, you know? So
To back up a little bit, I mean, you know, talking about moving to either coast, I mean, that becomes... Is that... scary? I mean, is that daunting? Because, I mean, you've established quite
absolutely. A network here. Absolutely. I've got the safety net of awesome, super great friends that I can count on to, like... Well, I mean, just recently I was in a job hunt, and, you know, summertime, Murfreesboro is almost impossible to get any work. And almost there again, one of my friends, you know, it's classic...
Big Vig,
you know what I'm saying?
Big Vig,
the biggest of Vigs.
So luckily, you know, I've got these friends, these safety nets that can help me in a jam or whatever. Yeah, man, moving completely across the country, no one knows who you are, no one gives a shit about you. There's no reputation to back you up, nothing. You know, and that's not just with, like, hey, can I get a job? That's, you know, galleries, trying to show my art, trying to get shows, trying to host shows or talk to bands to, you know, be involved or let me be involved.
Right.
It's starting all over again, you know? I'm, like, 19 in this new city. Right. Like, what?
Yeah.
Not to mention the people who sometimes resent other people for moving.
Yeah.
You know? Or for... Some people see it as like a betrayal when you move sometimes, I think.
And I mean, honestly, I don't like the idea of moving, but the simple truth is, like, with an art degree, there's, you know, not to put down art degree people, you can't do much except be a manager at a McDonald's, or, you know, be a little bit more crafty, no doubt, but... I mean, it's just not what it used to be. So I'm looking at grad school, and there's just no grad programs for artists in Middle Tennessee. I have to move out of the state no matter what. If it were up to me, I would stay. Or Phoenix? That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Your art institute, they got a graduate program.
Art institute? Yeah, boy.
I want to... This is almost backing up again, but do you... When you think about analog versus digital music, like, first of all, what was your attitude about that as a younger person, and how do you think it's changed, and how do you think it'll change in the future?
I think you're talking about, like, playing guitar versus...
Exactly.
Like, that kind of rock.
And, like, how you would have looked at that as a teenager versus now.
I think 15-year-old me, if he knew me now, would have just laughed and been, like, poser. You know, I was really not into electronic stuff. I wasn't exposed to it a lot. There wasn't much of that kind of scene, you know, living in a smaller place where Cam and I are both from Columbia. And, you know, a smaller place like that, you're kind of spoon-fed your media, so to speak. You know, there's not a huge scene trickling in with these bands that you've never heard of or different scenes that you've never heard of, for the most part. Not to say it doesn't happen. So I was really big into aggressive stuff, or, like, you know, if it didn't have distortion and screaming, dude, it's not music, man. I don't know. It's funny how that progression's happened, where I've just kind of let electronic stuff trickle in and trickle in and trickle in to where now it's like I'm in a complete nothing but synthesizers. I haven't touched a guitar in a really long time. So it's interesting to see how that goes. I don't know. It's hard to say. I don't think 15-year-old me would really like the me now, but I don't really like the 15-year-old me, so that's fine.
So screw you.
Yeah, fuck that guy anyways. He wore JNCOs, so I'm pretty sure I have more to make fun of him than he does me, so that's cool.
Well, do you see yourself... I know you've dabbled here and there in the past, you know, when we've been roommates, and after you've pretty much gone electronic and kind of picked up the guitar for a minute and kind of been like, maybe not. Do you see yourself ever going back to guitar as your main instrument?
I've kind of thought about pulling a square pusher, and I have given a lot of thought. I use a lot of arrangers and sequencers as far as synths go. So that frees me up to do more or less. I would like to do a little more and have some of these sequencers playing my bass lines, playing my drum lines, and some of those leads. Pardon me. But then adding some melodic, I think I could do some interesting leads with guitar or accompaniment with that. Just a little delay or something simple. But I thought about kind of doing the square pusher route. You know, he does bass with all of his machines. I would rather, I'm not a bassist or a drummist, so I would rather be a guitar-er. Yeah.
You'd rather be guitarded.
Yeah, I'd rather get way guitarded in here.
In ha.
Check, please. I think Mike's done with this.
No, I'm totally... what's your ultimate end game? Do you think about that ever? I mean,
ultimately I want to be the next big rock star artist, fine art and musical art. I want to be the rock star in both of those worlds. Realistically, I kind of want to just do my art through grad school, music and visual. I'm kind of more or less trying to learn how to combine the two. I've been getting into a lot of media stuff where, you know, I am making some of my own music videos. They're not as, you know, quite as narrative as his. They're way more abstract and a little bit more psychedelic. But kind of meshing these two worlds of this musical and this visual into one, you know, whether it's performance or some sort of recorded medium. But I don't know, get through school and maybe teach... and just kind of do my thing until one of those happens.
Sure.
In a fantasy world, we're all going to be what we dream to be. In a realistic world, hopefully I can make it through grad school and teach or something,
right.
You know.
Right.
I've had some teachers. There was one guy, Tom Thayer. He was really big into making music, and I, through talking with him some, he was kind of like me where he did music and stuff, but you know, you kind of get a little disillusioned and realize, oh, well, I'm not necessarily going to get to that next level, but I can keep doing my craft as a hobby while I focus on, you know, this teaching path with art. And you know, he still played shows and still taught, and that's kind of cool, and
sure.
Moved on to bigger, better schools to teach at. And now he's in New York. I forget what school he's at, but you know, he's getting to still play shows up there. So it's not something that I think necessarily has to die or fizzle out.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to have that backup plan for sure.
Cool. You got anything?
I'm exhausted.
Are you?
No.
All right. I think that wrapped up. Do you want to include the other as part of this, or is that separate?
No, I think. Well, we should at least say we're going to do it.
Yeah, we're the three of us are. As you know, Cameron is a filmmaker. I'm a filmmaker. Cameron and Russ used to make short films together. And as a separate piece, this week we'll be releasing a mini episode in which I am subjected, or however you want to put it, to some of the work that they did.
And then you're gonna get me back at some point.
At some point, I guess, yeah.
I'm gonna watch some of your stuff.
the early works of Mike and Cam, Masterpiece Theater.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that wraps it up for episode 34 for Bigger Show. This has been
Cameron B. Childs.
This has been
Russell Gunn, White Gunn,
and I am Mike D. Thank y'all so much for listening, and we will catch you, well, maybe next week. I'm going away for a little while.
Yeah.
So you may be joined with Cameron and our producer Mallory, or Hiatus.
And Oliver the Kitty.
Goodbye.